So let's go a little deeper here. First, I want to talk about some of the prophets of moralism. And they are found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's a little, I gotta make that a little smaller. Anyway. Says this. Says, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, just right there, would you say that's a pretty exhaustive list of sin? That pretty much covers a lot. But then we come to the form of it. And here's where it comes back to those little movies things I was just talking about. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And that's where we deviate from the gospel message. Why have a form of godliness? Because it's reflecting God and His power. Remember, in a Christian, we grow despite ourselves. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Not the fruit of up with character or some little cartoon for children. It goes on to say, have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Always learning, but never able, that says, to acknowledge the truth. Always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. You know what two things jump out at me here? One is, these last two verses about gaining the weak-willed woman who are loaded down with sin, all I can think of is Oprah. She gets up on that stage and she bestows altruism and goodness and love this and love that, having a form of godliness, but she always denies the power. And then always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. And she has flat out rejected, and it's all videotaped, and you can do YouTube it right now. She rejects Jesus Christ as the only way. Jesus himself said he's the truth. She always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. That's huge. Olstein's another creepy guy. Glenn Beck is another creepy guy. I always pick on them every chance I get. But this is perfect. This describes them to the T. And it describes everything that we're experiencing with churches that push moralism. Be a better you. You're great. I'm okay buttons. All those good things. So let's unpack this a little more. The poison of quaint moralism and good works religion. I have some verses here for you. Unbiblical assumptions about good. One is people are basically good. The problem is that this is the ultimate expression and rejection of God and glorification of ourselves. And we have Romans chapter 3. Listen, if you ever need a good dose of humbling, read Romans 3. Just read Romans 3 and know that it's talking about you. I only pulled two verses. But if you were to read all of Romans 3, it will beat you into submission, which is good and healthy. And I'll just read the first two verses. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. And in that, Paul is beginning to unload. And there is a whole bunch of verses describing how we hate God. It's just our nature. And of course, Galatians 5:19, the acts of the sinful nature. The acts of the sinful nature. And then it goes off with this list of activities, but it's the nature that condemns us. So humans are not good. Of course, and then we also have... I'm going to jump to the next point. Point number two is we are judged on a scale or graded on a curve. Most of these people who aren't sure they're going to heaven, they believe in a works righteousness thing, that they're going to earn enough works and it's going to counteract the bad and they're going to make it. And if you really push people, that's what they believe. It just got to get enough good things in the plate and it'll tip the scale and God's just going to have to accept me. And then if not, he grades on the curve anyway, so I made it. Isn't that great? God is so swell. Galatians 3, 10, 11, and 12, Paul is talking about the law. Now, in Galatians, Paul is doing a serious beatdown on people trying to push the Old Testament law on Gentiles. And he says in Romans 3, 10 through 11, he starts here. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. Whoa! What do you think of that? There's an encouragement. Oh, I'm going to just obey enough of God's goodies to make it. Paul says, and you know, to do good works, first of all, if you can even get the most evil non-Jew or Gentile person, that would be just your basic run-of-the-mill American who doesn't believe in Jesus. If you can even get them to say, tell me what good is. Or even get them to say, well, I'm just trying to be good. The moment they say that word, they've confessed, they know there's a moral compass, and they know where they're at. They've already confessed that the law of God is written on the heart by that very statement. Do you understand that? Catch them on that. Don't let them use universal truths without pointing it out to them. Don't ever let an unbeliever say, I'm trying to be good. Get them on it. Get them. What do you mean be good? What do you mean be good? Who told you to be good? How do you know what good is? How do you know what bad is? Where did you learn that? Why are you staking your claims on that? Help them to think, because they're not thinking. Help them to think. That's loving them, by the way. For it is written in Romans 3:10, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Yikes! If you ever listen to Todd Friel, Wretched Radio, which I encourage you, every Wednesday is Witness Wednesday, and they go out and they witness to people, and they always use the same formula. They do the Ten Commandment test on them. They say, have you ever stole? And the person says, yes. What does that make you? A thief. Have you ever lied? Yes. What does that make you? A liar? And they go right down the list, and it doesn't matter who they're talking to. They get them all to confess that they're a lying, thieving, disrespectful, adulterous person. They spam! They nail them! And everybody admits to it. And then they say, according to these five laws, if you were to stand before God, would you be guilty or innocent? And they can get the most squirrely person to admit, well, you know, really, if it was just by that, I would be guilty. And it is just by that. That's the scary thing. And everybody knows we're guilty. That's why we can say we're not perfect. Everybody knows it. Galatians 3:11 says, clearly no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. Hold that thought. What do we mean? Faith. Faith in what? Ooh, I'm cutting that out of the sermon there. My voice cracking like a Muppet. All right. Galatians 3:12. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Live by faith. And that is the sweetness of the gospel. So here's the wrong conclusion for our unsaved friends and family. Good people go to heaven. No, they don't. We already know everyone falls short of the glory of God. Man gets the glory. No, man does not get the glory. God does. Oh, one other point I want to bring up on this is, have you ever noticed how we are so quick to forgive ourselves? How our sins aren't really as bad as their sins? Right? I mean, come on, yeah, so we sinned, but we didn't do what they did, so certainly they deserve to go to hell, but no, God's going to overlook my sin because, you know, I'm just a good guy. And most people, that's their rational, you get them to admit that, that isn't difficult. But that's not, of course, we all know that's not what God says. We know people who, one thing that is true from the Bible is we know that people who do bad will not go to heaven. Even people who reject God think Hitler went to hell. You can get someone who's an atheist thinks even Hitler went to hell. Even if there isn't a hell, Hitler's still there. because he was really bad. He just really broke the scales on the bad side, and hell was made just for him, but not me. All right? Oh, there's no God. So that's why I'm going to continue sitting, my sins, because they're okay. Galatians 5:21, quick, you know, is the end of a long list of sins, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, Paul says, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so we do know that, of course, that is referring to the sinful nature in the Acts, that those who live like that will not inherit the kingdom of God. So there is some sort of works here. But if you're only looking one side of it, like many people do, unfortunately, they just see that, well, see, bad works lead you to hell. That's not what Paul's saying. In that he was giving evidence of the sinful nature, and we're condemned because of the sinful nature. The actions are the evidence of an unrepentant, unregenerate life. These actions listed in Galatians chapter 5 are the evidence of an unregenerate person, a person who doesn't love God.
Did he really just say that? Maybe it's time to end for today. Catch the exciting conclusion tomorrow. You are always welcome to email, Facebook, or tweet us with your thoughts or comments. Truth is here.